Reminiscences of a Stock Operator by Edwin Lefebvre. Imagine standing in front of a chalkboard, surrounded by rows of numbers that seem to pulse with life, each figure a potential story, a clue, a secret waiting to be unraveled. For many, numbers are just numbers. But for Larry Livingston, they became a language, a rhythm that spoke directly to him. It's not unlike the way we encounter challenges in life. At first, everything seems like noise, chaotic and disconnected. But as we tune in, as we start paying attention to the small shifts, patterns emerge. The market, like life, isn't random. It's a cipher waiting to be deciphered if only we have the patience and the insight to see it. In this book, you'll follow Livingston's journey from a young clerk obsessing over price movements to a seasoned trader navigating the complex dance of the stock market. But his story isn't just about making money. It's about learning to listen to the subtle rhythms of life, to embrace the failures as stepping stones, and to understand that true mastery comes not from force, but from timing, discipline, and knowing when to act and when to hold back. If you've ever felt like life's challenges are overwhelming or unpredictable, Livingston's journey will resonate with you. It's a reminder that mastery comes through constant growth and adaptation, and sometimes, the best strategy is simply waiting for the right moment. Chapter 1. Every accomplished trader has an origin, and for the story Jesse Livermore recast as Larry Livingston in this narrative, it began with a simple fixation on numbers scrawled across a board. These weren't stocks or corporations in his mind, not yet. They were merely figures, stark and unadorned. As a teenage clerk in a Boston brokerage, he updated price listings with mechanical precision, unwittingly attuning himself to the market's pulse. Where others saw a ledger of transactions, he discerned patterns, ebb and flow, a subtle choreography of shifts that hinted at an underlying order. What started as idle curiosity soon deepened into compulsion. Livingston began recording price movements in a notebook, observing how certain stocks behaved in the prelude to significant surges or drops. Unbeknownst to him, he was honing a trader's intuition, one rooted not in headlines or conjecture, but in the stark clarity of data and its relentless repetition. The market, he came to understand, was not a realm of disorder. It was a cipher, intricate and solvable. The pivotal moment arrived unexpectedly. A colleague tipped him off about a chance to trade in a bucket shop, a gritty, high-stakes venue that demanded little capital but promised steep risks, an unconventional alternative to the polished brokerage houses. His notebook had flagged an impending shift in Burlington stock. This wasn't about avarice or chance. It was a calculated test of his emerging system. He gathered his modest savings, placed his first trade, and emerged victorious. The profit was meager, a handful of dollars, but it was vindication enough. From that point forward, the retreat was unthinkable. Livingston wasn't merely dabbling in a pastime. He was unraveling the market's hidden language, demonstrating that its numbers were not arbitrary. They wove a narrative, one he resolved to master with unmatched precision. Chapter 2. The intoxicating rush of triumph, the meticulous mastery of discerning price trajectories. Larry Livingston had perfected these faculties, amassing steady profits within the confines of bucket shops. Yet such prowess draws notice, and soon, the very establishments he exploited recoiled. Successively, they barred his participation, denying his trades. To them, he had transcended the role of a mere client. He emerged as a formidable predator, amid a throng of unwitting targets. With the bucket shop's rejection sealing his expulsion, Livingston faced an inexorable reckoning. He had surpassed their limited domain. His sole remaining frontier was New York, the epicenter, where genuine equities were exchanged, where fortunes ascended or crumbled on the hallowed floor of the stock exchange. At a mere 21, he embarked on Wall Street, equipped with $2,500 and a seasoned acumen for interpreting price movements, yet wholly unversed in the intricacies of authentic market dealings. What eluded his foresight was the profound divergence between bucket shops and legitimate brokerage. The immediacy of trade execution, the capacity to seize ephemeral market ripples, these were vestiges of a bygone arena. Here, transactions demanded deliberation floor-based fulfillment and were susceptible to latencies and discrepancies. His chief asset Celerity had been nullified. The paradigm had shifted irrevocably, yet he persisted with anachronistic methods. Insidiously, his gains diminished. The once unassailable framework that had underpinned his ascent now betrayed him. By the time he apprehended the chasm between past and present, his entire reserve had dissolved. The erstwhile prodigy, once unassailable, found himself chastened. But Livingston was not one to capitulate. This was no terminal defeat, merely a provisional setback. He deduced that the flaw resided not in the market's nature but in his own methodology. Thus, with his confidence undiminished, he resolved to reconstruct his approach. Henceforth, he determined, he would navigate the contest according to its intrinsic rules. Chapter 3. Every trader encounters a crucible, a juncture where the market exacts its toll, compelling a profound reassessment of presumed certainties. For Larry Livingston, this reckoning materialized after his initial foray into Wall Street trading. His resources had been wholly depleted, not due to misjudgments of price trajectories, but because he had misapprehended the nature of the contest itself. Unyielding in his resolve to reclaim his footing, Livingston reverted to familiar terrain, the bucket shops. Securing a modest loan, he journeyed to St. Louis, where uninitiated establishments stood poised to accept his wagers. In mere days, he reconstituted a substantial sum, only to find the doors barred once his identity surfaced. Once more, his proficiency had rendered the minor leagues inhospitable. Returning to New York with replenished capital, Livingston grasped a singular truth. Survival demanded mastery of authentic speculation. In bucket shops, he had thrived by wagering on minute oscillations, executing with surgical precision. Yet in the legitimate market, where execution lags and liquidity exerted influence, he discerned that fleeting trades fell short. The genuine victors transcended mere tape reading. They anticipated expansive trends, deciphered the psychology animating the market, and positioned themselves accordingly. Gradually, the epiphany crystallized. The market harbors no allegiance to optimism or pessimism. It bestows favor solely upon those aligned with its prevailing currents. Price movements, in isolation, proved insufficient. He needed to cultivate patience, refine timing, and devise a cogent strategy. The market was not a foe to be vanquished in transient skirmishes. It was a formidable entity to be navigated with foresight and endurance. Through this revelation, Livingston shed the mantle of the ordinary trader. He was evolving into a consummate operator, one who did not merely respond to the market's caprices, but penetrated its fundamental character. This insight, he recognized, would prove transformative. Chapter 4. Larry Livingston had long defined himself as a trader swift, intuitive, and unrelenting. Yet as he transitioned from the insular realm of bucket shops to the expansive theater of Wall Street, a disquieting revelation emerged. The market was not his paramount adversary. That distinction belonged to himself. He had perpetually regarded trading as an exercise in decoding the tape-discerning transient oscillations and deftly entering and exiting for modest gains. This approach had borne fruit in bucket shops, where the structure inherently disadvantaged the clientele. But in the authentic market, those same stratagems precipitated gradual, agonizing losses. The realization was stark and unsparing. He had been operating on a diminutive scale, seeking profit amid ephemeral noise rather than harnessing substantive movements. Livingston soon perceived that eminent traders eschewed the pursuit of fleeting thrills or petty increments. They engaged the grand sweeps of the market, amassing positions with resolute conviction and measured forbearance. They bided their time, awaiting the market's unequivocal cues rather than precipitating ill-timed maneuvers. His gravest flaw, he discerned, was an insatiable compulsion for activity trading, not in response to genuine prospects, but from a restless desire to remain engaged. The acknowledgement pierced, yet it catalyzed a transformation. He began to comprehend that speculation transcended mere price dynamics. It demanded an intricate interplay of timing, patience, and discipline. Knowing a stock's trajectory was insufficient, he had to await the optimal juncture to act decisively. This chapter delineated a watershed, For the first time, Livingston adopted the mindset of a consummate market operator, not a reckless speculator chasing incremental ticks, but a tactician poised to seize substantial rewards. The market remained an unyielding arena, yet he now stood equipped to contend on an elevated plane. Chapter 5. The market is an unrelenting pedagogue, exacting a toll for every insight it imparts. For Larry Livingston, each lesson bore a tangible cost. He had deduced that minor trades and fleeting scalps were not conduits to enduring prosperity. Yet intellectual ascent and practical embodiment proved disparate realms. Bolstered by his nascent appreciation for patience and expansive market movements, Livingston cultivated a burgeoning assurance. He no longer traded for mere engagement. He bided his time, awaiting the opportune moment. When he committed, he did so with unwavering resolve. The outcome was extraordinary. His gains amassed precipitously, swelling his account and fortifying his conviction that he had at last subdued the market's caprices. Yet triumph begets complacency, seducing even the most astute traders into a delusion of invulnerability. It is precisely then that the market unveils its most merciless instruction. Facile riches are ephemeral. At the zenith of his ascendant streak, Livingston ventured into increasingly audacious and precarious positions. His profits had accrued with such ease that he began to presume every endeavor would yield success. He abandoned the rigorous scrutiny that had once defined him, ceasing to interrogate his decisions. His frequent triumphs fostered an illusion of infallibility. Then, inexorably, the tide reversed. The market recoiled against him. He faltered, reluctant to excise his losses, and stood aghast as his amassed wealth dissolved with the same alacrity with which it had materialized. His once impregnable confidence morphed into incredulity. How had he erred so egregiously? The reversal was devastating, yet it bestowed a profound revelation. Winning streaks harbor peril. They engender hubris, and hubris is the undoing of traitors. The market remains indifferent to prior victories, extending favor only to those who wield discipline, adaptability, and a sober reverence for risk. The descent was agonizing, but Livingston's spirit endured. He had squandered capital, yet he had acquired a prize of greater worth, humility. This, he recognized, would fortify him beyond measure. Chapter 6. Every trader, at some juncture, succumbs to the conviction that they have deciphered the enigma, a foolproof blueprint for perennial gains. Larry Livingston had traversed this terrain. He had amassed wealth, relinquished it, and resurrected it anew. Yet now he confronted a more insidious fallacy, the notion that erudition alone sufficed. He had scrutinized the tape with rigor, distilled wisdom from prior missteps, and honed his acumen. Nevertheless, despite this arsenal, he repeatedly stumbled into a cardinal blunder. He engaged the market, absent a viable opportunity. The compulsion to act, to perpetually inhabit the fray, proved an indomitable lure. Possessed of capital and seasoned judgment, he still lacked the quintessential trait distinguishing the eminent from the ordinary, forbearance. Livingston came to apprehend that triumph in trading hinged not solely on discerning when to strike, but on mastering the restraint to abstain. The market was no mechanized dispenser, yielding returns at every whim. It was an exercise in endurance, a crucible of discipline. Those who plunged in devoid of advantage merely enriched their more judicious counterparts. Through arduous trial, he grasped that coercing trades mirrored wagering in its recklessness. The market metes out no recompense for exertion. It venerates precision. It remains impervious to the hours expended poring over the tape or the fervor of one's avarice. It yields only to those who bide their time for the consummate configuration. In this epiphany, clarity coalesced. Trading was not a pursuit of reactive pursuit, it was an art of prescience. At last, he perceived that at times, the most sagacious maneuver is abstention itself. Chapter 7. Larry Livingston had long equated trading with perpetual motion ceaselessly navigating the market's currents, capitalizing on every nascent prospect. Yet, after a litany of triumphs and reversals, an alternative verity emerged. The preeminent traders were not those perpetually engaged in transactions, but those who exercised restraint, awaiting the impeccable confluence of conditions. Premature action, devoid of corroboration, had exacted a steep toll. Mere prescience of market trajectories proved insufficient. Temporal precision was paramount. He discerned that impatience constituted a traitor's most formidable adversary. The compulsion to maintain constant exposure, to pursue minor oscillations, had ensnared him in gratuitous peril. True wealth, he observed, accrued to those capable of repose enduring days or even weeks, until the market unfurled its full endorsement. This transcended mere discipline. It demanded an acute recognition that the market bestows no laurels for diligence. It extols exactitude. Henceforth, Livingston recalibrated his methodology. He ceased precipitating trades, abandoned reflexive responses to every tremor, and instead resolved to let the market beckon him forth. This paradigmatic shift in perspective wrought a profound transformation. He now comprehended that a trader's most potent stratagem was not invariably to acquire or divest, but often to remain inert, poised in vigilant stasis. Chapter 8. The market teems with clamor, an incessant din of tips, rumors, and pervasive conjecture. Larry Livingston had cultivated a reliance on his own discernment, yet even he proved susceptible to the seductive undertow of collective sentiment. Repeatedly he observed traders converge upon stocks, propelled by speculative fervor, assured of an infallible opportunity, yet he understood a deeper truth. When consensus crystallized around a trade, its viability had often already waned. Livingston bore witness to the treachery inherent in trailing popular opinion. Stocks deemed invincible could plummet precipitously, obliterating those ensnared by the allure of euphoria. He deduced that astute capital did not drift in lockstep with the throng. It preempted it. Genuine gains accrued not from slavish adherence to prevailing currents, but from anticipating their imminent inflection. This chapter cemented one of trading's most arduous precepts. Independent cogitation is the sole path to triumph. The market exalts those who pierce through the cacophony, who anchor their actions in personal scrutiny rather than ephemeral zeal. Henceforth, Livingston resolved to place paramount faith in his own counsel, for in the realm of speculation, the majority's accord frequently heralds error. Chapter 9. Larry Livingston had witnessed the phenomenon innumerable times. A stock, poised at its apparent apex, would abruptly disintegrate. Conversely, a market teetering on the brink of disintegration would inexplicably rebound. He concluded that the market was architected to beguile the majority, ensnaring them at the most inopportune junctures. He discerned that ostensible breakouts frequently faltered, that frenzied liquidations often transpired belatedly, and that the most conspicuous opportunities were, more often than not, cunning ruses. Seasoned practitioners eschewed pursuit of overt momentum. Instead, they bided their time, poised to exploit the public's overextension by maneuvering contrarily. Success, he realized, demanded foresight, a capacity not merely to respond to the market, but to presage the reactions of its participants. Henceforth, Livingston eschewed reliance on superficial fluctuations. He recognized deception as the market's most formidable instrument, a peril that perpetually blindsided the unperceptive. The authentic contest transcended mere trend identification. It hinged on detecting when the market was laying in ambush. Chapter 10. Larry Livingston had long reposed confidence in his aptitude for interpreting the tape-discerning price trajectories, gauging momentum, and responding with precision. Yet even the most adept trader occasionally succumbs to the allure of dismissing the market's explicit signals. Invariably, such defiance exacts a toll. He recollected instances when he clung to positions, impelled by a desire for ascent, even as the tape betrayed unmistakable frailty. On other occasions, he spurned admonitory cues, presuming his own perspicacity superseded the manifest price behavior. Each lapse in fealty to the tape precipitated financial loss. The market remained indifferent to his convictions or aspirations. It heeded solely the unvarnished veracity of price dynamics. Thenceforth, he pledged an unwavering tenet: never contest the tape's testimony. Regardless of how cogent a hypothesis appeared, irrespective of the fervor animating his belief in a trade, he would defer to the market's tangible revelations. For ultimately, price action stands as an immutable arbiter, while traders perpetually risk self-deception. Chapter 11. Larry Livingston had both experienced and observed it in myriad fellow traders, The tenacious grip on a faltering position, sustained by the frail expectation of a market reversal. Yet the market extends no clemency, nor does it confer bounty upon mere optimism. It exalts only those who wield resolute discipline. He came to recognize obstinacy as a trader's most pernicious foe. Prolonging attachment to an ill-fated trade exacerbated its toll. Beyond mere monetary loss, he forfeited lucidity, permitting sentiment to usurp rationality. The most proficient traders were not those immune to error, but those who swiftly acknowledged missteps and excised losses with unflinching decisiveness. Henceforth, Livingston renounced the sway of hope in his dealings. Such sentiment was the province of wagerers, not practitioners of his craft. A declining position demanded not protracted indulgence, but prompt intervention. In the realm of speculation, the capacity to concede error often delineates the boundary between endurance and obliteration. Chapter 12. Every trader, at some juncture, succumbs to the siren call of a gilded tip, a purportedly privileged revelation promising effortless riches. Larry Livingston had trodden this path, acting on murmurs from ostensibly authoritative voices, persuaded of a clandestine advantage. Yet experience exacted a bitter lesson. Most tips were not merely fallible. They were perilous. By the time such whispers percolated to the common speculator, astute capital had already staked its claim, often propelling the market contrarily. He had observed traders stake substantial sums on ostensible certainties, only to witness stocks defy prognostication. Even when a tip proved prescient, its timeliness had typically lapsed, prices had recalibrated, rendering the peril disproportionate to the prospective gain. More insidiously, dependence on such counsel fostered indolence, supplanting rigorous analysis with credulous reliance. The preeminent traders spurned rumor-mongering. They anchored their decisions in personal scrutiny, deciphering the tape rather than trailing the multitude. If a stock harbored potential for movement, its price behavior would herald it before any self-styled confidant. Thenceforth, Livingston forswore tips unequivocally. He declined to permit extraneous clamor to obfuscate his discernment, cognizant that authentic triumph derived from mastering the market's intricacies, not from banking on another's omniscience. The sole veritable edge in speculation lay not in covert disclosures, but in the capacity for autonomous reasoning, disciplined execution, and fidelity to one's own stratagem. Chapter 13. Triumph in speculation frequently engenders a treacherous mindset. The fallacy that amplified transactions begat amplified gains. Larry Livingston had once succumbed to this delusion, persuaded that incessant engagement was the linchpin of prosperity. Yet with time, he apprehended a stark reality. The market extols not fervor but exactitude. Proliferating trades, particularly absent a discernible advantage, merely augmented peril and subjected him to gratuitous setbacks. His approach had not grown more astute. It had merely grown more voluminous. He noted that the most formidable traders were not the most industrious, but the most discerning. They bided their time for the consummate alignment, committed with unwavering resolve, and recognized when to withdraw. The gravest misstep a speculator could commit was the compulsion to perpetually inhabit the market. Frenetic trading invariably precipitated visceral judgments, supplanting reason with impetuosity. Each superfluous maneuver eroded concentration, resources, and assurance triadic pillars indispensable to enduring success. Thenceforth, Livingston instituted a transformation. He resolved to eschew trading for its own sake. He would observe, await, and act solely when probabilities tilted decisively in his favor. Overtrading, he discerned, was not a hallmark of prowess, but a symptom of frailty. The true virtuosos understood that forbearance rivaled execution in import, and that, at times, the most sagacious trade was abstention itself. Chapter 14. The most egregious error a trader can perpetrate is the conviction that their intellect surpasses the market's dominion. Larry Livingston had assimilated this verity through arduous trial clinging to faltering positions, persuaded that the market erred and that his discernment would ultimately prevail. Yet repeatedly the market administered chastening lessons, regardless of his certitude, price action unfailingly narrated the authentic tale. The market was not an entity to outmaneuver or dispute. It demanded comprehension and acquiescence. He deduced that traders exert no sway over markets. Rather, markets dictate traders' fates. Resisting a prevailing trajectory, disregarding patent indicators, or recalcitrantly denying losses constituted a blueprint for calamity. The preeminent speculators were not those replete with convictions, but those attuned to the market's pronouncements. Should the tape evince fragility, his personal conjectures were immaterial. The stock was destined to decline. Should momentum burgeon, defiance was an exercise in futility. The market's veracity remained unassailable. Only traders faltered in their misapprehensions. Thenceforth, Livingston pledged to align his endeavors with the market's course, never countering its tide. He would no longer permit hubris to supplant the primacy of price behavior. He grasped that triumph hinged not on vindicating his prescience, but on accruing profit. The sole avenue to that end lay in honoring the cardinal axiom of speculation. The market's omniscience reigns supreme. Chapter 15. Every trader's odyssey arrives at a juncture where the sagest course is neither acquisition nor divestiture, but withdrawal. Larry Livingston had come to discern that the most formidable struggles were not waged against the market's vicissitudes, but within the crucible of his own psyche. When emotions usurped command, when resolve faltered, or when the market withheld lucid prospects, speculation morphed into peril. He had witnessed an excess of traders, himself among them, squander resources not from ineptitude, but from an obstinate refusal to pause. He perceived that losses often escalated not from flawed transactions per se, but from impetuous choices born of exasperation. The compulsion to recoup diminished capital precipitated heedless gambles, pursuits of fleeting trends, and the abandonment of tenets that had once underpinned his triumphs. The market's permanence was assured, yet capital and composure, once depleted, could prove irretrievable absent vigilant stewardship. Recognizing the moment to disengage was not a mark of frailty, but of perspicacity. Thenceforth, Livingston covenanted with himself to engage solely when the milieu was propitious. Should the market obfuscate its intent, should his equanimity waver, or should he detect the compulsion to coerce trades, he would retreat. For the most adept traders were not those who proliferated transactions, but those who mastered the art of discerning when to abstain. Chapter 16. A trader may wield an impeccable strategy, acute instincts, and profound market erudition. Yet absent meticulous risk stewardship, such assets are rendered moot. Larry Livingston had borne witness to this axiom. A solitary imprudent trade, a fleeting lapse into hubris, could obliterate the fruits of protracted diligence. The gravest misstep lay not in incurring losses, but in squandering more than one could sustain. He had observed speculators devastate their coffers, not for want of market acumen, but through a refusal to temper their exposure. They wagered excessively, clung tenaciously to faltering positions, and disregarded portents until redemption was foreclosed. Even in moments of staunch conviction, Livingston learned that no prospect merited staking his entirety. The market's caprice was an immutable truth, and endurance was the sole conduit to eventual triumph. Thenceforth, he enshrined risk as his paramount concern. He truncated losses with alacrity, calibrated his commitments judiciously, and barred sentiment from usurping his judgment. He understood that in the market's arena, prosperity hinged not merely on accumulation, but on preservation. Ultimately, the traders who endured were not those boasting the grandest victories, but those who precluded a solitary defeat from precipitating their ruin. Chapter 17. The market possesses an insidious knack for cloaking its machinations in apparent simplicity, until it abruptly unveils its complexity. Larry Livingston had observed this phenomenon in himself and others. Swift profits accrued amid propitious conditions, only to evaporate with equal celerity when fortunes reversed. Ascendant streaks bred an unwarranted assurance, and such assurance precipitated heedless choices. The instant a trader deemed the endeavor facile, the market stood poised to disabuse them of that notion. He discerned that amassing wealth was not the arduous feat retaining it proved the true challenge. Many speculators could capitalize on prevailing currents or serendipitously profit from a handful of audacious trades, yet absent discipline, those gains invariably dissipated. The paramount peril stemmed not from an adverse market, but from a trader intoxicated by a sense of invulnerability. Seasoned practitioners grasped this verity, never permitting prosperity to obfuscate their discernment. They accorded the market unceasing reverence, acutely aware of its capacity to rescind all gains in a fleeting moment. Thenceforth, Livingston approached each triumph with circumspection. He forbade euphoria from steering his transactions and eschewed the presumption of perpetual success. He recognized that in speculation, humility was as indispensable as proficiency. The juncture at which one presumes mastery over the market marks the precipice of its most profound admonition. Chapter 18. As Larry Livingston evolved in his craft, he came to apprehend that consistency, rather than exhilaration, constituted the linchpin of enduring prosperity. The market was not a crucible for pursuing ephemeral thrills or amassing instantaneous wealth. It demanded discipline, forbearance, and a discerning grasp of opportune moments. He had witnessed a surfeit of traders exhaust their potential, undone by an absence of restraint, impelled into transactions by caprice rather than calculated intent. He deduced that authentic virtuosos adhered to stringent precepts. They subordinated sentiment to rationality, governed risk with meticulous exactitude, and refused to permit a solitary trade to encapsulate their worth. The demarcation between triumphant and faltering speculators lay not in intellect or fortuity, but in the capacity to maintain rigor amid the market's most capricious vicissitudes. The market conferred no laurels upon those who proliferated trades. It exalted those who acted with deliberate purpose. Thenceforth, Livingston pledged unwavering allegiance to discipline over fervor. He ceased pursuing fleeting opportunities, eschewed coerced engagements, and barred emotions from obfuscating his acumen. He recognized that success was not a tally of transient victories, but a testament to protracted resilience. Ultimately, the traders who prevailed were those who venerated the market sufficiently to abide by their own exacting standards. Chapter 19. No market endures in stasis indefinitely, a lesson Larry Livingston internalized through exacting experience. Strategies efficacious in one epoch bore no assurance of efficacy in the next. He had observed speculators tenaciously adhere to antiquated paradigms, recalcitrant in their refusal to evolve, only to witness their wealth evanesce. The market was an organism in perpetual flux, and survival hinged on commensurate malleability. He discerned that the most adept traders were not merely proficient, they were pliant. They perceived alterations in the prevailing milieu and recalibrated their approaches with alacrity. They eschewed obstinate fidelity to obsolete tactics or futile attempts to coerce trades amid inhospitable conditions. Rather, they scrutinized emergent patterns, assimilated novel dynamics, and aligned their maneuvers accordingly. The market defied domination. It demanded deft navigation. Thenceforth, Livingston enshrined adaptability as his paramount virtue. He relinquished the presumption that prior triumphs presaged future gains. He maintained his vanguard by cultivating an unencumbered intellect, perpetually accruing insight, and resisting the complacency of familiarity. For in the realm of speculation, those who spurn adaptation do not merely forfeit capital, they vanish into obsolescence. Chapter 20. Larry Livingston had borne witness to an oft-repeated spectacle. Markets oscillate through epochs of rapture and ruin. Speculators amass wealth amid ascendant surges, only to relinquish it entirely when the currents reverse. Proficiency alone did not suffice. Comprehension of the impermanence of triumph and the transience of despair proved indispensable. The market unfurled in undulations, and those oblivious to its ebb invariably bore the cost. He deduced that the downfall of most traders stemmed not solely from errant transactions, but from an incapacity to recalibrate when paradigms shifted. In prosperous intervals, they presumed an eternal bounty. In desolate troughs, they succumbed to trepidation rather than girding for nascent prospects. The demarcation between virtuosos and novices lay not in their capacity for victory, but in their resilience across the spectrum of vicissitudes. Thenceforth, Livingston refused to let the market's crests, or nadirs, govern his disposition. He acknowledged that peril lurked even amid abundance, just as potential reemerged amid scarcity. Triumph in speculation did not hinge on seizing every crest. It demanded buoyancy through tempests, poised for the inexorable resurgence of the next cycle. Chapter 21. Nothing so thoroughly obscures a trader's clarity as the glare of success. Larry Livingston had savored this intoxication firsthand. Following a cascade of profitable trades, he deemed himself impregnable, as though he had subdued the market's caprices. Yet the instant a trader presumes invincibility, the market delivers a stern rejoinder. Overconfidence was not merely perilous. It constituted the swiftest conduit to perdition. He had observed how ascendant sequences lured speculators into amplified hazards, prompting them to flout their own precepts and spurn circumspection. They disregarded the market's indifference to antecedent victories, fixating solely on the present tableau. The most grievous losses frequently ensued on the heels of prodigious gains, a consequence of traders' descent into temerity, persuaded that their ascendancy was immutable. Thenceforth, Livingston resolved to anchor himself in sobriety. Irrespective of his accomplishments, he forbade overweening assurance from obfuscating his discernment. He approached each transaction with the vigilance of a neophyte, adhering to his methodology with rigor rather than hubris. For in the market's crucible, the moment one ceases to venerate risk marks the precipice of utter forfeiture. Chapter 22. For Larry Livingston, every trade, whether triumphant or deleterious, served as an instructive crucible. The most adept speculators were not those who eluded missteps, but those who distilled wisdom from them. He recognized that each resolution bore profound revelations, illuminating facets of the market's machinations, the efficacy of his stratagem, or the contours of his own psyche. Those who faltered were not invariably less adept. They merely perpetuated their blunders sans rectification. He had witnessed traders ascribe their reverses to the market's caprice, fortuitous misfortune, or exogenous influences, eschewing accountability. Yet Livingston apprehended that pretexts yielded no profit introspection did. Rather than languishing in defeat, he dissected it with precision, probing the etiology of error and charting avenues for amelioration. Triumphs, too, warranted scrutiny. He eschewed mere exultation, instead interrogating their underpinnings to discern their mechanics. Thenceforth, Livingston consecrated himself to viewing speculation as an unending pedagogical odyssey. Each trade constituted a fresh occasion to hone his faculties, refine his acumen, and surpass his antecedent self. The market's tutelage was ceaseless, and the most sagacious traders embraced an equally indefatigable pursuit of enlightenment. Chapter 23. Larry Livingston had gleaned through arduous trial that possessing a stratagem was insufficient. Its meticulous execution through discipline was the crux of success. Many speculators comprehended their requisite actions, yet in the crucible of exigency, passions usurped reason. Trepidation precipitated premature exits, avarice protracted untenable holds, and impetuosity propelled them into ventures misaligned with their standards. The market exacted a toll for vacillation, irrespective of a trader's prowess. He discerned that preeminent traders were not distinguished by labyrinthine methodologies, but by their steadfast fidelity to their blueprints. They precluded sentiment from commandeering their resolutions. They neither pursued errant opportunities nor flouted predetermined thresholds. Their precepts were inviolable, adhered to with unswerving constancy. A solitary lapse in vigilance could annul protracted gains, and Livingston recognized that ceding to emotion over rationality was the most expeditious path to debacle. Thenceforth, he solemnly vowed never to transgress his own trading edicts. No concessions, no vacillation, no capitulation to whim would be tolerated. The market extolled consistency, and enduring victors were not those who courted prodigious hazards, but those who wielded the fortitude to remain steadfastly aligned with their doctrine, come what may. Chapter 24. Through each ascent and descent, every triumph and tribulation, Larry Livingston had come to apprehend that experience reigned as the supreme pedagogue in speculation. Texts, theorems, and methodologies might proffer direction, yet none could supplant the tutelage derived from authentic market crucibles. The speculators who persisted were not invariably the most erudite or agile. They were those who had persevered, acclimated, and burgeoned from their missteps. He had observed neophytes pursue illusory panaceas, questing for an infallible framework that remained chimerical. Yet, veritable mastery emerged not from the evasion of failure, but from the capacity to navigate its aftermath. The market conferred no accolades upon mere erudition. It exalted those endowed with the fortitude to weather reverses, the forbearance to await propitious junctures, and the sagacity to adapt to mutable tides. Thenceforth, Livingston embraced each transaction as an integral facet of his perpetual edification. He no longer recoiled from errors, he esteemed them. He recognized that speculation was not a pursuit of flawlessness, but of relentless refinement. For ultimately, the most consummate traders were not those unscathed by loss, but those unyielding in their quest for enlightenment. Closing thoughts. Reflecting on the journey of Larry Livingston, it's clear that success in trading is not about chasing quick wins or relying on fortune. Rather, it's about cultivating patience, discipline, and an unwavering commitment to continuous learning. Livingston's evolution as a trader showcases the importance of understanding not just the market, but oneself. The most significant lessons come from mistakes, and the willingness to adapt, rather than stubbornly adhering to outdated strategies, is what ultimately separates the successful from the rest. In a broader sense, Livingston's story offers valuable insights into how we approach challenges in life. Whether in business, personal endeavors, or even relationships, it's the ability to adapt, learn from failures, and maintain a disciplined approach that leads to true growth. The market, like life, is unpredictable, but those who succeed are those who can ride the waves with resilience, humility, and foresight, always aware that every setback is an opportunity to become wiser and stronger.